Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening and join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Love to hear from you tonight. And check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you'll be able to learn more about me and more about our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. And certainly invite you to visit if you're in the area. We're midway between Akron and Cleveland, Ohio. And we'd love to have you visit us at Richfield Bible Baptist Church. But we're going to get into a couple of things here tonight. But if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, as I said, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening. And I also want to mention a couple of things. My family and I spent this past week in Washington, D.C., and interesting thing took place on Thursday that I want to mention. If you were been around, well, just about anywhere where you're at, maybe down in Florida you didn't get quite the smoke, but the East Coast, from New England down through New York and all the way down Washington, D.C., and not sure exactly how far south the smoke drifted, but the wildfires up in Canada, initially out in western Canada, and then more lately in eastern Canada, up in Quebec and different places, the air system, the way it was circulating, was pulling the smoke out of Canada down across the eastern United States. Here in the northeast Ohio area, had a bit of it, but in Washington, D.C., it was coming in very thick this past week, especially on Thursday. And I want to come back to that here in just a few minutes. I do have a caller calling in, but I'm going to come back to tell you about some experiences and an observation on what was going on Thursday in Washington, D.C., when the smoke was coming in so heavily, having actually been there this past week. So we'll talk about those things as well. But again, as I said, Pastor Al Davis, the phone number is 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here tonight with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We've got Mary Grace calling in tonight, and welcome to the program.
Oh, I'm just so blessed, Pastor. Very blessed.
Amen. Good to hear from you tonight.
To be here and to hear you and your lovely Word. I marked my Bible. And I was like, Psalm 117, I wasn't aware that was such a marvelous thing. But the Lord is so kind and merciful to all of us. And the thing is, He's looking for, you know, we show our best. And God is good to that. He loves it when we do our very best. And He helps us do that. But I do and am aware of what's going on, and my point is, I'm asking for all paper ballots in Ohio, no machines. We can count. We know how to count. And same-day voting. And we must vote for life and life abundantly, especially for our children and our children's children. God help us all.
Exactly. We need the paper ballots across the country. You know, you brought up the paper ballots. I heard something on the news while I was traveling. Somebody did a study. They did a study where they timed the paper ballot being counted in one particular election versus the computer tally results, and they found out the people with the paper ballots actually came in faster than the computer. And usually we're told, well, you got to have the computer because it's faster.
Yes, but you don't have a computer. We don't want the machine. No,
yeah, but that's what I'm just saying. In a test, they actually found the paper ballots were more effective.
I know. And now yeah,
they're certainly more secure.
They want to charge you more.
Yeah.
You understand? So, they want to really put it to them. If they say paper ballots, that it's going to be more money. No, it's not. It's going to be cheaper. And we can count. We know how to count. And we just don't want any interference at all.
Well, and the nice thing with the paper ballot is you've got a record. If there's ever a question, you can go back. Anybody familiar with computers knows that computers can be manipulated.
But her name she's a paralegal, and she wrote the book, and she was in Osage County, and that was, I believe, Missouri. And she said they were faster and they were better and everything was excellent.
Yeah.
And she wrote the book on it, and her name is Rant, R-A-N-T-Z. And she's a marvelous young lady. She's a paralegal. And she actually says that all the machines were, you know, there were other machines going on in St. Charles and different areas, same election, everything, and they were all messing up. And they were done first. You know, so God is able, and I know he'll help us, and we'll do it right. In Jesus' name, we have to.
Amen. Exactly. And we need to pray. We need to pray for our country, and we need to be involved. Christians ought to be involved, and they ought to get the facts and the biblical basis behind the issues that are on the ballot. The Christians ought to know what's on the ballot and what the biblical issues are, and then get out and make their voice heard. I had somebody tell us in church one time that they didn't believe that Christians should vote. You know what the reason was?
What?
You can't make stuff like this up. They say Christians should not vote. Here's why. Because God already knows how he wants the vote to turn out, and we don't want to interfere with what God's doing.
Oh, my goodness.
That was one of the most ludicrous reasons for not voting. It was an excuse for not voting is what it was. Because, you know, the Bible says that the mystery of iniquity is already working in the world in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, but it's being held back, and it's being held back by the work of the Holy Spirit. Well, how does the Holy Spirit work in the world? He works through born-again believers, doesn't he?
Of course he does.
Exactly. So you know how God governs the vote, how God works the vote? He impresses upon his children how to vote.
Right, to call.
Yeah, to go out and get involved and to go out and be salt and light. This nonsense that, Christians shouldn't vote because you'll just interfere with what God's trying to do. No, he wants to work. That would be like saying, I should not preach a message as the pastor of my church because I would be interfering with whatever message God wants the people to hear.
No, that's not it.
No, he works through his children. He works through us.
No, just hearing.
And to try and say that we shouldn't vote because we're going to interfere with what God's trying to do. If you're a born again believer, and the Spirit of God is guiding you, when you look at a lot of these, let's look at, for instance, here in the state of Ohio, on the ballot in November, there will likely be an amendment to basically enshrine abortion on demand all the way up until the day of birth. They want to put this in the Ohio Constitution. Now, as a believer who believes the Bible and believes that children are precious and life begins at conception, as a believer, it's clear that I need to vote against that amendment. That's not being involved in politics. That's in terms of being political. That's being involved because it's biblical. It's biblical. Life begins at conception is a scientific fact. I can say that. I do have a biology degree. I mean, I study. Life begins at conception.
He knows us in the womb.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a biological fact. It's a biblical fact. And most certainly, Christians can be involved in finding out what the issues are. And you know, across the country, there's various issues that are going to be on the ballot. And we certainly have here again in Ohio, since we're here in Ohio, in August, on the ballot in August. I believe it's August the 8th. Let me just double check that here. That is, it's got to be the
August 8th.
Yeah, August the 8th. We have issue one in Ohio, which will amend how we amend the Constitution in Ohio due to progressives, which were the early leftists, basically. They, in 1912, I believe it was, Ohio was one of a number of Midwestern states that were conned into relaxing the standards by which we change our state constitution. And so Ohio right now, you can change the state constitution. All you need is 50% of the vote plus one, which we worked out the numbers, 8.9 million voters or something like that, would work out to 50% plus one would work out to the percentage of the election would be 50.00001% of the election. And in August 8th, we're going to amend that to where it will take a 60% of the vote in order to do that. Now, this is to protect the Constitution from being bought and tinkered with, constantly, like it has been, and this will bring it more in line with the state constitution.
Into our state.
I'm sorry.
Can't buy our state.
What's that?
They've been sending people into our state.
Oh yeah.
You're not going to buy our state.
Yeah, and
we're not going to let you do this.
Yeah, and see, we're not a democracy. A lot of people have this false notion that the United States is a democracy. We're not. We're a constitutional republic.
And
amen. And so, as a constitutional republic, there's things put in place to protect minorities. And if you're going to change your fundamental governing document with 50.00001% of the vote, it's clear that a large number of the people in your state are not going to be happy no matter what happens. But when you raise that to a 60% majority, which is more in keeping with most other states and the U.S. Constitution, and ironically here in Ohio where the Democrat Party is saying it's going to take away your voice, it's going to take away your right to vote, which it does none of that, to change the Ohio Democrat Party's constitution requires a 60% vote. That's kind of ironic, isn't it?
People,
but yeah,
people.
Yeah, but what I was going to say is, having a 60% vote means that you get the overwhelming voice of the majority of the people to where there's very few people who are against, and it's a lot more satisfaction and confidence in the vote, and it also protects against manipulation, because when you're comparing 60% of the vote to 50.00001% of the vote, it's a lot easier to manipulate to get that 0.00001% of the vote as opposed to get another 10% of the vote. You know, do you see what I'm saying? So it protects and it ensures that you're getting a clearer view of the majority of the people's views, and it also protects minorities to a little bit more as well, because they can't be overridden as easily as just getting such a tiny percent extra. And there's a lot of other things with that. But and so this is where, we're certainly recommending here in Ohio on August the 8th that God's people get out and they vote for issue one, which will raise the standard and protect our Constitution. And in turn, that will help protect our Constitution from having abortion embedded in it in November, should the abortion amendment get put on the ballot in November. They're trying to do that right now. And that will make necessity of 60% of Ohio has to say yes to that than in November, whereas right now only 50.00001% of Ohio has to say that. And that's too easy to manipulate. That's too easy to fool people. That's too easy to take advantage of people. Whereas 60% actually gives you a better gauge of what people really think. So we're praying for here in Ohio. I know other states have got other things coming up. So Mary Grace, appreciate you calling in tonight and tell us about that and remind us about these things. We do need to be involved. And I've got another caller I got to get to as well. But thank you for that, reminding us of that. Okay. Appreciate that tonight. Thank you. God bless. Appreciate that. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Craig calling in tonight. Craig, welcome to the program this evening.
Good evening. Thank you for taking my call.
Good evening.
I was just thinking about some things, and I got in the van out of a Walmart moment and said, wow, this man is speaking exactly what I'm thinking. And I wanted to ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
And then I listened to the conversation, which brought up so many other things.
Uh-huh.
First off, I'm a performing artist, a musician, performing artist, theater artist, and a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And I found myself looking for a way to help save my country. So I started my own podcast and during the shutdowns and such.
Right.
And the burning question I started with, we'll go that, is when you have someone that you love, your mother, your father, you know, immediate family that you see is really gone, not just astray, but you could just say to the dark side. Whereas the quote is, when I approach them, I'm looking for the, I heard a minister or a priest say recently, the best way to reach people is through the word of God. Go to the Bible, go to the scripture, try to talk to them with the scripture. But when I do that, I get the devil voice. I get the monster voice. I get the cussing, the hang up.
You know? Right.
It's an instant rejection. It's almost as if she's possessed. How do you go about reaching someone that ends up with this idea that abortion is fine if it's okay in the woman's heart and her God? You know, as if there is no real God any longer. It's the God she has in her heart and her doctor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it, and I know this is a mentally ill person, obsessed with narcissism, abusive narcissism. But whole stuff, the whole family suffered from it. But I still love her. I feel for her soul, and I feel like, well, that's not my responsibility. I have this challenge. So I kind of wanted to just hear what you had to say in response to that. You know, what's the path? You know, because it rips me apart. It destroys me. And then I become non-functional, and I can't take care of the people that I need to take care of, myself and my responsibility. And I'd love to have you as a guest on my show. You're amazing because you integrate the action as an American with God's mission, with our mission. And I was a born-again Christian when I was a teenager. I felt the passion. And then when I moved to New York, I lost my way in a sense, you know, being around that whole thing, you know. And I learned, I just came to despise my own industry. I've always been an independent producer because I didn't want to be around those people. And the abuse I took, you know, from the, I'm just straight up say it, from the gay agenda and the transgender mutilation movement. These things anger me, you know, and I was a psychology music major and I taught school and I have children. The idea of mutilating children, it's just so bizarrely evil, and people walk around as if they're doing a favor. And when you have someone you love that close, how do you recommend, if there is any way to not destroy yourself and still reach out and try to help them find their way back to God again?
And it isn't always easy. You're absolutely right. I mean, sometimes, you know, when you're trying to reach people and you bring up the Bible, you engender some pretty pretty powerful negative reactions, and that can certainly be an indication that there's something going on a spiritual realm, because generally speaking, unsaved people are not going to react real strongly in a negative sense to the Word of God, but someone, and the devil influences people. We use the term demons. Really, the better word is devil. But when we say demonic, we know what we're talking about. So I'll probably use that because that's what most people say. There's a lot of demonic influence in people's lives. Okay, and it can be everything from just a great deal of influence and manipulation to actual outright oppression, and eventually even possession. And when we look at possession, we typically think of somebody who has an unclean spirit, a devil, which they're all fallen angels, living inside of them, you know, basically indwelling them. And when you look at a person who reacts very violently to the things of God, you know, it looks like you're toward that end of the spectrum. It doesn't necessarily mean somebody's, you know, demonically possessed just because they react violently or very negative to such things. But sometimes it's an indication they might be under pretty heavy manipulation or oppression. And let me interject here too.
Sure.
Sometimes people can appear to be possessed, but they're not actually, because think of it this way. There's two types of puppets that do what the puppet master wants them to do. One of them is the type of puppet where the hand of the puppet master is inside the puppet, right? Manipulating the puppet from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another puppet called the marionette. And how's the marionette manipulated? Strings. The devil attaches strings to people sometimes, and when he pulls on those strings, they react. And in looking at the concept, you know, a lot of debate goes on sometimes in Christian circles. Can a truly born again Christian be demonically possessed? I do not believe that if the Holy Spirit of God is living inside the heart of a believer, that an unclean spirit can also dwell there. But then people will say, well, how come then people who are supposedly born again might act like a demon-possessed person? Well, it comes back to the strings. And that's why, you know, the Bible says, you know, getting rid of the sins that thus so easily possess us. And so when I, as a believer, say to God, you know, I want you in my life. I want to live for you. I want to do what you want me to do, except when it comes to the matter of what I, you know, look at online.
Mm.
And you know what I'm doing now is I'm telling God to take a back seat, and the devil is attaching threads to me, and enough threads together become strings, and enough strings together become ropes, which can bind you. And the devil pulls on those strings, and you begin to do things. And can a believer do things that they ought not to do? Absolutely. Paul said in Romans chapter 7 that he did things that he knew that he shouldn't do and didn't do things that he knew that he should do. Because we have a sin nature, and so we don't always know whether somebody is, you know, to use the phrase, demon possessed or not. It may just be that they're heavily manipulated because they've given the devil so much control of their life that all he has to do is pull the strings.
Yes.
But when somebody reacts negatively to the Word of God, well, you know, that makes me look at the idea in Genesis chapter 3, when Satan appeared to Eve in the form of the serpent, one of the first things he said was, "Yea, hath God said," and it was to get her to turn away from what God was saying. There's an antipathy toward what God has to say, a hatred for God's word, and an effort to question it, to disregard it, to let what you think supersede what God says. And you know, the devil did that himself. His heart was lifted up with pride, and he became the corrupt creature that he is today.
That's amazing. I think in this case, it's really both, because she is a child, had an abortion very, very young, and I think her path was to cover that and justify it. So she uses the propaganda of the media today, whatever they say, to justify any horrific mass murder of unborn children. I like to say mass murder of children in the womb.
Yes.
Mutilate young children's genitalia. I mean, they're giving drugs to 6-year-olds that they used to give to, you know, repeat rapists to chemically castrate them.
Yes.
They were sentenced to life in prison. And now they're mailing them off, I hear recently, in packages across the country to break these laws.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to fight. We've got to fight. That's why I mentioned this my show, Santa for the USA. But the personal situation is tormenting. And if I allow myself, she's so, and it's not just her, it's kind of a trait in the family. Basically, all the women are Democrats, and all the men are Republicans are dead except for the one billionaire. They kept him around. So I don't mean to speak ill, but there just was no use for hardworking men that were Republican and Christian eventually in the family. And the irony is a kind of comedy is that both me and one of my cousins, who is a preacher, a fundamentalist, we're the black sheep of the family. We're the only ones that don't get the money, that don't get the favors, that don't beg, that stand on our own, that make our own way in life. And we love doing that. And of course, we're in two of the toughest, you know, careers there are. But we have a passion for this love, and we speak about it. And the commonalities are really phenomenal. It's just it's almost I have to completely cut it off. And of course, psychology today is upside down, completely upside down. You know, gender dysphoria was 98% to 99% successfully treated by the time children were 18 of years age. Women 98, boys, girls 98, boys 99% successfully never had issues again past the age of 18.
False
therapy.
The whole time of puberty is a time where, you know, just changes in everything can be overwhelming to some children.
Of course.
And once they get through it,
all these changes.
That's where adults are supposed to guide people through it, not take advantage of them. The people who are pushed into all the transgender procedures and things like that and everything, they're actually 19 times more likely to commit suicide than those who aren't.
Yep, that's exactly right. And you know that suicide, the highest rate, is after they complete the full transition.
Yes, yeah.
And it's because they look at themselves and they say, what did I do to myself?
Yes,
I destroyed myself. I'm a monster.
Mm-hmm.
And they hold up this doctor. I don't know his name. You probably know better than I off the top of my head, that they searched for, who found the two identical twins. I got the parents to agree. This was in the 60s during this whole hippie movement. And of course, this all goes back to the eugenics, which you just referenced a minute ago as well, which blew my mind in 1912 and the connection to the communist movement. This is all connected.
Yes.
100-year path.
It's the mystery of iniquity that's already working in the world.
And those of us that are here now, I feel it's my responsibility. I shifted my work as a performing artist and people always wondered, well, why aren't you famous like this guy or that guy? Because you were one step from Broadway. You were one step from this, whatever. I said, well, there was always a path. I was always had this impulse that, okay, now it's language. Now it's melody. Now it's playwriting. Now it's directing. You know, now it's back to music again. You know, and I see myself now at 65 years of age, and I realize this entire path was to put me where I am now.
Mm-hmm.
That I was never meant to have that burden of the loss of my children and that divorce lifted. And someone said to me, well, maybe you never will see.
Hey, let me interrupt just a second there. We've got a break coming up. If you can hold on for a few minutes. It's a hard break coming up. And if you hold on for just a few minutes, we'll be right back. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll stick with us here this evening. You can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can listen to past programs there. If you're in an area where you don't hear the first hour of our program, we actually start at 10 o'clock in the evening on Sunday night, run till midnight. Some people only hear the 11 till midnight hour. And also we have a program on Fridays from 1:30 until 2 o'clock. And if you're not in an area where you hear that, you can find those online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. I've got going back, I don't know how many years we go back on those programs there, but you can listen to them there. And bear with me. It takes me sometimes a few days to get things uploaded because I'm the one that does it. So pastor of a small church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And if you go to livewithpastoral.com, you can not only find out more about me and the program and listen to past programs, you can also find out about our church, link to our church. You can go to a number of articles that I've written. I usually do about an article a month for our church newsletter. And the last one that I did is Pride Goeth Before Destruction, which of course is based on Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, "Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall." And in it, I address the matter of pride, why it's so dangerous and destructive. And, of course, relating that to Pride Month, I mentioned a couple things on that here a little bit later as well. And we've got our caller, Craig, who's still with us, who'll pick up here in just a moment. And he was talking about the mutilation of children and everything. And I was just noticing that my last article was called Mental Dysphoria, where I addressed this issue of gender dysphoria and what's happening with these children. That was inspired by a conversation I had with a doctor who had been fired from a hospital for refusing to engage in transgender procedures and surgeries with children. And I know he had to have been a Star Trek fan, because he said, "I'm a doctor, not a butcher." If you're a Star Trek fan, you'll get the reference. But it really is something that sums up what's going on there quite a bit. And in the article, I happen to point out a related disorder known as xenomelia, or better known as body identity integrity disorder, where there's an overwhelming desire to amputate a healthy limb or even an eye or something like that. And it's usually a desire to be paralyzed or to be blind or something. They just have this idea that they don't want these healthy body parts, and they try to find a doctor who will actually remove them. And we look at that, and this is what I point out in the article, we look at that and we say, if somebody does that, there's something wrong with them. Removing healthy body parts. It's an illness. It's a disorder. Body identity integrity disorder. But when it comes to wanting to remove healthy body parts in terms of male or female body parts, because you don't think that you should have them, we say, oh, this is to be celebrated. Well, why is gender dysphoria any different than body integrity, identity integrity disorder? Where in both cases, you're wanting to remove healthy body parts because you don't think they belong there. One of them, we say, get the person counseling. The other one, we say, get them under the knife. Get them the drugs. Get them all these things and indulge them in their mental illness, which is what it is. But it's beyond that. It's also a spiritual thing as well, an attack upon the image of God. And I encourage you to check that out, livewithpastoral.com. You can find those two articles. Mental dysphoria is the one. The other one is Pride Goeth Before Destruction. That's the most recent one. And hopefully there'll be a blessing to you in some way as well. But Craig, are you still there with us?
Yes. Yes, I am. And I just absolutely, how can I say thank you for speaking plain truth in a way and in a tone that I think people can hear. That's what I was trying to do with my work now in my life, is use my music and my theater, essentially, which is what I did for 47 years full time, as an artist perspective to reach out for people. Yeah. You're coming at it as a, you know, an educated, you know, intellectual, spiritual man of God, a minister, which is wonderful, which I don't have that reference, but I'm looking very much forward to seeing the two pieces or the videos or the books that you were referring to just now. I'm going to go to your website.
Yeah, a couple of articles there. They're not long articles. Actually, I wanted to pick up on something that you said going into the break. You were talking about how you feel that all this that you've gone through is now, you know, coming together where God's able to use you in certain things. And I would say the same things because, you know, I started out in college studying wildlife biology with a minor in botany, of all the things.
Okay.
Then I wound up in the United States Air Force dealing with classified material for a few years and handling, you know, extremely classified materials. Amongst other things, one of the things that I did every morning was prepare the reading file for the commanding officer of all the message traffic that came in the night before and, you know, highly classified material. And so I'm reading this stuff every day and you know, about as far removed as you can from biology and natural resource management type stuff that I went to school for. And then I went from that into the ministry.
It's amazing.
And I look at that.
What age did you go into the ministry?
I was in my later 20s. I think it was about 27,
okay.
28, somewhere around in there.
Wow.
I was actually in the Air Force when I went in the ministry. I was saved when I was younger, about 8-9 years old. And I was, leading a nominal Christian life. I was saved, but I just wasn't really doing what God wanted me to do. And when I graduated from high school, I didn't say, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" I said, I like biology. I like botany. I like the out-of-doors. And I found a way that I could, go to college for that sort of thing and enjoyed that. Thought that's where I was going with my life. Got out of college in 1983. And of course, the economy wasn't very good at that time, high unemployment. And so I found myself competing for jobs that only needed a high school diploma with people who had PhDs, and I only had a Bachelor of Science. And so I looked around and I thought, well, I got college bills, college loans coming due. And so I said, I could go into the Air Force. My dad had been in the Army. My uncle had an uncle who was in the Army Air Forces in, Army Air Corps in World War II.
Okay.
My dad was in the tail end of World War II in the Army, and my uncle was in the Army Air Corps, Air Forces. And then I had another uncle who was in the early days of the Air Force in the 1950s. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, I could go in the Air Force. So I went in and I applied, and the recruiter basically said, "Look, you can go in as an officer, but it'll probably take you 6 or 8 months to get you in. If you go in enlisted, I could probably get you in 3 or 4 months, maybe, and you can become an officer later." So that was my thought. I thought, I'll do this. So I went in, and it was in early in August that I went in, and a month later, I was in Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio with some guy in a Smokey Bear hat screaming at me, "Set it down, pick it up, your luggage, set it down, pick it up, not fast enough, set it down, pick it up." And I was in the Air Force, and that's how I wound up there. But while I was in the Air Force, I was stationed at RAF Chicksands in England, which was fantastic, I enjoyed my time there. I had good advice. Why go someplace in the United States that you can visit any time when Uncle Sam will pay you to live overseas? And so England was my number one choice, and that's where I went. So I went there, actually, if I had to type 2 words a minute faster on my typing test, they said that they were going to put me either at Cheyenne Mountain in Colorado Springs, which, I'd not been in Cheyenne Mountain, but I've been to Colorado Springs many times. My roommate, when I was in college, lived in Colorado Springs, and one of my dad's cousins lived just west of Pikes Peak there. And so I was kind of familiar with that area. So that would have been one area it could have been. The other area could have been the Pentagon. And I am so glad I didn't type 2 words a minute faster. Instead, they sent me to the sleepy countryside in England, about 60 miles north of London in the British countryside. And I loved it. But more importantly, a missionary from the state of Georgia was led to start a church outside of our base, and a guy who became a good friend of mine, him and his wife from West Virginia, they found that church, and they got involved in that church, and he was actually came in and was working in a unit just down the hall from where I was, and began inviting me to church. And at first he thought I wasn't saved, but upon conversation with me, he realized I was saved, just not walking with the Lord like I should. And I started going to the church eventually and found out they'd been praying for me. And this kind of ties back to what you were saying earlier about how do you reach people when they're very antagonistic. I found out that I had a whole bunch of people who were praying for me to get my heart right with God. And so God began working in my life and got me out of some situations that I was in. I rededicated my life to the Lord. And so while I was there in that church, and the name of the church was Chick Sands Baptist Church because it was near RAF Chick Sands. And we were just south of Bedford, England, in Bedfordshire. And if people are familiar with Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan, that's the area where he lived. And in fact, we used to pass out tracts on the very spot that Bunyan was arrested for preaching the gospel without a license. And I got involved in that missions work there. And as I got involved, God began speaking to my heart about full-time Christian service. And and I was in the process of working to put in to go to officer, you know, become an officer. And I said, well, I guess I need to not do that. And if I'm going to devote my life to full-time Christian service, then I'm going to have to separate from the Air Force. So that's the track that I set on. And when I surrendered to full-time Christian service, it was kind of interesting because I don't even think a week went by. I surrendered to the Lord. I said, Lord, the Air Force has me, I forget, 6 months, 8 months, whatever it was left and my time. And I said, they've got me that long. As soon as my time is up, I'm yours.
No.
And I don't think it was but a week or two later, I come in one day and my supervisor, well, actually, I think because I usually got the message traffic first, found some message traffic and found out that I had an opportunity for an appointment with the White House Communications Agency. And I'm thinking, man, President Reagan's in office and, all this great stuff that you could do. And immediately, it's going through my head, all I have to do is re-up for another 6 years. Well, what's six years? You know, I could go to Bible school while I'm in the Air Force during that time. Mm-hmm. And then the thought came to my mind, no, you told me that once your time, your time is up, you're going to be, devoting your life full-time Christian service. And I had this mental image of, the carrot on the stick in front of the donkey. Well, I was not the one holding the stick. And the carrot was the White House Communications Agency. And I looked at that, and I had to make a decision right there. Yep. It was not like, well, you've got a week to think it over. It's like, no, you got about 5 minutes. And I had to say, much as I'd really like to do that, I got to turn it down. And that's what I did. Sometimes you be honest, I'm human. I often wonder what would have happened if I had not done that. But I turned it down and soon found myself out of the Air Force. And next thing I knew, I was preparing to be a missionary. And while on deputation, I met my wife. And then we went out together, and we went to different churches. And eventually, we found ourselves in the Samoan Islands, where we planted a church that's still there today. And came back, and my home church was about to close. Our pastor resigned and said, if you'll stay and take over the church, I could keep the church open, otherwise the church is going to close. And I thought, well, the church in Samoa has its own pastor in the works right now. There's another missionary who is serving as the interim pastor after I left, and I thought it's going strong. And our object is to plant churches and keep churches going, not to see churches close. So we prayed about it and felt that the Lord would have us to stay and me take over as the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and that's how I wound up pastoring in my hometown. And so here I am.
And
then a few years down the road, God opened up the door to come on the radio, and
I hear you, and I hear that, and I see that the sort of the structure of the doors opening. This friend said to me, well, maybe you never will be able to fix this with your children, and you have to give it up. And it was a friend, and it was like a dagger going in my heart, because mm-hmm. I'd been holding and worked. I'd been beating myself to the bone with my will, trying to fix this problem for 25 years, you know, and I just didn't have the money. And it was just one of those situations where they wanted to punish me, and there were no issues in the marriage other than they wanted me away from the children because they knew that's the way they wanted to hurt me. Mm-hmm. And I never was able to fix that. And once I came to that realization that maybe I never can, and this friend is saying that, and he quickly followed, though, but God can.
Yes.
Give it up to God. And the minute I heard that and I embraced that, it just eased my spirit, and I started to become well again because I was mm-hmm. physically dying. And I just, my body cured, and all these doors open and people come. That's why I called you, because I heard your voice and I just knew you were, I like to say, the angels speak through people. You know, it's sort of this random thing. And when you just, I guess it's just testimonial-like, but when you actually make that commitment, things just start to happen.
Yes.
They come to you. The doors open. It's amazing how the business has come back to life. I'm back performing again, which is, they're looking at me going, you know, how in the world did you go through what you did without having a stroke, a heart attack, or an aneurysm? Why aren't you dead? Mm-hmm. And I'm up on center stage, you know, 65, running circles around 30-year-olds again. It's part-time, because I really have this need, this desire, this calling to, like I said, put it all. So, but, you know, it's a two-way path I'm struggling with, which is this, a lot of loss, you know, personal loss. As you get older, you know what it's all about. People that you know, you trusted, they were there for you, they're suddenly gone, you know. And when you really believe and you have someone that you really love, like your mother, and you ask your brother, do you think she's just, you know, mentally ill, mean, or possessed? And he says all three.
Yeah.
You know, where do you, and the string thing you mentioned is brilliant, because I think it's really a matter of both. I've been trying to approach her with the idea that rage like the Exorcist chick, but the head doesn't spin around,
mm-hmm.
claiming to be a Christian and that I am possessed and a member of some evil cult because I'm standing up against the mutilation of children and the mass murder of unborn children in the womb. And she claims to be the Christian. And how do you approach that? What is there anything that, or when do you, I think there is scripture. I don't know. Like I said, I'm not an expert at scripture. I'm learning, but that says sometimes you have to let that go.
Yeah.
There's a battle we cannot fight.
Yeah.
And we're coming up
on the end of the program here. We're going to run out of time real quick, you know, up against the hard end of the program. But again, I appreciate the conversation tonight. I hope you'll call back in the future. But I was going
to
say, a lot of times it may be that you just have to get people praying for them. There's an excellent booklet out there. You can find it online. You can actually get it free many times, called Praying Effectively for the Lost. And it has some excellent teaching in there about the necessity of praying for people, because if somebody is not truly born again, even if they think they are, you know, the natural man, Paul said, receives not the things of God because they're foolishness unto him, because they're spiritually discerned. And so we need the Spirit of God to move upon the heart of an unsaved person. And sometimes when somebody is caught up with, a demonic influence of some sort, and it makes it hard for us in particular to reach them, we need the Spirit of God to go in and to basically prick them in the heart in a way that we can't. You know, the Apostle Paul, before his conversion, was somebody breathing out thunderings and lightnings, you know, against the believers, throwing them in jail. And he was there when Stephen was martyred. And yet when he met Jesus on the Damascus Road, he said, "It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks," meaning like the ox goad that they would poke the ox with, the little sharp bone or nail or something on the end of a stick, or just a sharp pointy stick to get him to move. And it's clear that Paul was battling against these things even while outwardly he was railing against the new believers and throwing them in jail. And yet inwardly, the Spirit of God was working on his heart. And I think that's a big thing.
I think you're
right.
I think that's the best advice, and thank you so much for that. And I think people did that for me, and I think that's how I got to where I am now.
Yeah.
And I have to now do that, pass that on, so to speak.
And that may be what it takes. Show. You know, so got about 30 seconds, but appreciate that. And hopefully we'll talk again.
Look forward to it. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you so much.
God bless you.
And you as well. And I want to appreciate it. I thank everybody for listening tonight. One thing I was going to mention, I don't know if I can get it in here in the last couple of seconds, but you know, I was in D.C. on Thursday. And on Thursday, Joe Biden was going to have a big thing, big celebration for Pride Month. Thursday was the worst day for the smoke. They had to cancel the event and move it to Saturday. How about that? God let it be known that he wasn't happy with what was going on in D.C. Well, they didn't cancel it completely, but they canceled it on Thursday because the air quality was so bad. Yet here's me and my family hoofing it all around on foot all around D.C. that day. And believe me, it was smoky. Couldn't hardly see across the Potomac River that day. It wasn't a coincidence that it was on the very day that the Biden administration planned a big festival celebrating Pride. Well, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall, the Bible says. Check out my article, Pride Goeth Before Destruction. You can find it at livewithpastoral.com. I want to thank you for listening tonight. God bless. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live, visit our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs and read articles on a variety of topics by Al Davis at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, next Sunday morning at 11 a.m., next Sunday evening at 6 p.m., or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m., 6 p.m., and every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. And tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.